Welcome to the Sex Talk Cafe, a podcast about the transformative and healing power of sex, pleasure, and embodied sexuality. I'm your host, Morgan Susan Taylor. I'm a sex therapist and specialist in women's sexuality and the founder of the Pathway to Pleasure Collective, where I am passionate about normalizing the conversation on sexuality while building a bridge between the sexual and the spiritual. I created the Sex Talk Cafe as a place for you to learn from the experts in the field of somatic sex education, sex therapy, and sacred sexuality so that you can remove the mystery from sex, release guilt and shame, and learn to live a sexually empowered life filled with more confidence, connection, intimacy, and love. Thank you for joining me. Today, I am so excited to welcome Colette Davenport, who is an international coach, speaker, and author who believes that people with empathic sensitivities are meant to develop their gifts and build businesses that leverage their emotional intelligence and intuitive guidance. Colette is the founder and CEO of Badass Empath United, where you can find her living her life's purpose of leading empaths to their fullest potential so that they can be the badasses they were born to be. Let's welcome badass business babe Colette Davenport to the Sex Talk Cafe. Well, Colette, thank you so much for joining me today and welcome to the Sex Talk Cafe.
Thank you. I'm super excited to be here, Morgan.
So excited to have you. Well, I would love just to start out if you would share with our listeners just a little bit about you, your story, and a little bit about the work that you're doing.
Yeah, you bet. So typically, I like to start when I was a freshman in college, and I was in college on a full academic scholarship that I received from being valedictorian, and I dropped out that first semester to work as a call girl. I grew up in a home where, you know, sex wasn't much talked about. In fact, I think my dad was more like, don't do it. And, you know, so it was more like fear and kind of shame around my body and no boyfriends, couldn't talk to boys on the phone. So I was so far removed from any kind of self-expression in the area of, you know, my body or sex altogether. So once I was out of the home, I was like, I'm doing this my way. I went the complete opposite direction, but I also recognize now that the other thing that I was seeking and didn't realize was power. And I thought that my body and sex and my wielding of them would give me power over men. It didn't quite work out that way, but I did learn a lot about human nature as it relates to sex and intimacy and our bodies and our deepest, most hidden fears, as well as those repressed desires that so many of us keep, you know, contained potentially for our entire lives. And so learning that and being an empath and having great, you know, this giant curiosity and desire to understand and also to help, to heal hearts and bodies and minds, that led me into the field of intimacy coaching. I also learned Tantra was an underpinning in the philosophy that I learned. So I've had this sort of esoteric or spiritual approach to intimacy as my early development as a professional. And then lately things took a turn, and I feel like we're going to talk a little bit more about that later. But there's the thing that's been on my radar for the last handful of years is the intersection between intimacy and pleasure in our work, or more specifically in business.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, we'll definitely get into that. And like, so this is kind of to satisfy my own curiosity, but I'm sure that other people listening probably share this. I want to know about like how you made that choice to become a cult. Like how does one even, how did that even come to be? You know, because that's not like a typical path that people follow when they go to college and they start to be a cult girl. Like say more about like how you arrived at that decision and what that entailed and what that was
like. Well, so I've had one job where I've worked technically for somebody, and that was the summer out of high school. So the summer between high school and college, I worked at a mini golf putt-putt kind of place. And I met a guy there, and we started dating. And long story short, he had another girlfriend who was much older than me. I was like 18, 19, something like that. She was like 27. And anyway, so there was this, like, I had this arch rival, and but the guy was in the middle. And then the guy, like, left the picture. She and I became friends. She worked as a stripper at a strip club. And so here we are hanging out. So I used to fear her, and then I just idolized her. I thought she was amazing, so confident. She had money. She had, like, men falling over her. And she was like, you should come work at the bar with me. And so I did that, like, as a waitress. So I left Putt-Putt Golf and went to work at a strip club as a cocktail waitress, something I had no experience in, no clue what that would be like. Coming from a sheltered background, I grew up in a small rural town, and here I am thrust into this world. And so I go on my first day, and it was just fucking gross. I could not stand it. The smoking and the, just the, like, the grabbing. And I don't know what I thought I was going to be like. Honestly, I had no idea. I just was, like, in awe of this woman. And I was like, yes, I want to do what you want to do, you know?
Yeah, quite a shift from the putt-putt golf course.
Yes. And so I go there that first day and I leave, because I'm just like, I cannot be here. I got to get out of here. Okay, so now I'm jobless, and I'm, you know, I've got my first apartment, all of this, like, newfound responsibility. I better figure it out real fast. And so she says, well, I do this other thing in the evening sometimes, and tells me, like, I'll put you in touch with somebody. And so she put me in touch with a madam, gave me her phone number. I spoke with her, met her at, like, a Denny's. She wanted to check me out. She met me at a Denny's and, like, checked me out. And she was like, I can put you to work tonight. And I said, great. And so that was the beginning of that chapter of my life. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. This is amazing. Like, yeah. And, I just, that's so cool. Like, I just want to know more about that. I know, like, this relates very much though to where you ended up going with your work. And I, so kind of bring it back to, like, how you really sort of kind of grabbed on to this, you know, the call girl thing is a way to experience your power and have power over men, but it didn't really work out so much. And I wonder if you can say just more about the power that you were searching for, like, through sex, and what you sort of discovered in this journey of, you know, being a call girl, and then you know, you've massively shifted, which we'll talk about that in a minute. But speak more
to
that. So,
like I said, I was unaware that what I was truly seeking was power. I thought what I wanted was to be wanted, because I hadn't had any, literally, I, you know, didn't have a date to the prom, and, you know, didn't date boys. Was I was ugly duckling, academic, and athlete in high school. And so I wanted to be wanted. And so that was part of, and I also wanted, you know, to explore sex and make a bunch of money. I grew up poor. And so those two things, like being wanted, having a bunch of sex that I'd never had before, and making a lot of money, those things sounded really sexy to me, really appealing. And and so when I, early on, I sort of approached it more of a passively, because here I am, the newbie. Literally, I had might have had sex once or twice prior to being a call girl, like drunk sex, where it was had nothing to do with my pleasure, right? Or even myself, my body, like exploring my body in any way. And so here I am coming into this feeling timid, but also super curious. And fortunately, it, I suppose, I, you know, the clients that I had were responsive to that. And we worked together to have, to explore pleasure and fun. And then I, and then it, like, as I started to learn and understand how, like, the tool of my body and how it's like a magic wand and I can hypnotize people and honestly get what I want. At that time, that's what I learned, that I could get what I want with my body. And so that's what that started to evolve into, a manipulation of men through sex. And that also wasn't very satisfying for me. It was short term. And, but I also at that point started to come into a level of confidence that I didn't have before, albeit not it, more of a false confidence in hindsight. However, it felt like confidence at the time. And really starting to enjoy sex and the thrill of not dominating in terms of like dominatrix or, you know, submission or anything of that nature, but really feeling like my body was my own to command. And yes, I took it too far at times, not every single time, but there were, that was certainly the dominant, to use a pun, way of being that I was when I was doing that work. And I realized that it wasn't satisfying or fulfilling, and I recognized then I was just in this transactional experience with people, and then it became a power struggle. Which one of us could hold the power? Mm-hmm. And then that just wasn't meh. Right. Then I was just over it.
Right, sure. And yeah, I mean, it's just nice to hear this from you because, you know, like you were sort of engaged in that dynamic, but sort of like, and I imagine both people kind of know what's going on, but women do that all the time. I've written a lot about this lately.
Oh, yeah.
The toxic feminine, like where we use emotions or use our sexuality to get what we want from men, but it's done in a very covert way. So, you know, yeah, I just think it's kind of neat to hear you talk about that sort of openly. And you know, I imagine in those settings, it's sort of assumed that that's kind of
what's happening. Yes, and again, it's speaking generally, but there were certainly really loving exceptions. And that those exceptions to that rule are what had me shift and start to look at things like, how can I use this quote unquote power now that I'm starting to learn what it actually is and not just like being, you know, a rebellious girl, you know, child about it, but how can I use this power to actually heal and make a difference for people?
Yes. Well, say more about that, because I know the title of, I think it's your new book, which I've not read yet, From Call Girl to Calling. Mm-hmm. So obviously you've made a huge transition. And how, so you started having this awareness, and how did you transition into
this? By observing that neither of us were satisfied, and it just kind of exacerbated our feelings of powerlessness and lack of satisfaction and just feeling distance and frustration. So feeling as an empath, feeling what they were feeling when I was actually starting to tune into that ability and then also my own self-awareness. So that was, you know, starting to wake up and pay attention and get curious. And yeah, and starting then to read books by people like Deepak Chopra and Carolyn Mace and Louise Hay, and you know, just starting to evolve as a young woman, and getting curious about the deeper underlying issues that cause behaviors that people hide when it comes to sex and feel shame and you know, and also like, how did I get here? That was a question, because I don't have the sexual abuse in my history that often, you know, sex workers do. And I'm not saying that happens for everyone. Certainly didn't happen for me. So you know, people would often ask me like, oh, you know, assuming that I was abused in some way, and that's why I did sex work. And that wasn't the case. And so, just getting curious, like how did I get here? I had, you know, I had by all measures, like an opportunity laid out before me, 4 years of, you know, college for free. I could have done anything or gone anywhere or been anyone. And I say that with zero regrets. You know.
Yeah. I mean, the S-quality sounds like so much more fun.
Oh my goodness.
More edgy. Yeah.
And the thing is I've never stopped learning. I didn't follow an academic path. You know, the structure of academia felt like, you know, a chokehold around my throat. But I have always, and I am still always, been in some form of learning and development and applying, you know, the education that I get both from real world and from, you know, the courses and certifications and, you know, all of those things that we do to develop ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Yeah. Well, and so you started then into intimacy and relationship coaching. Can you just talk a little bit about that? I know you've transitioned now. We'll get to that in a minute. But so you have this period of time where you started to actually help other people heal and come into greater power with themselves.
Yeah, I So the first coaching program that I developed was called the Sexually Confident Man. And this was for the guys who were secretly hiring escorts or, you know, secretly watching porn on their phones in the bathroom while their wives slept, or, you know, feeling like they were, you know, they're powerful men at work, but then they come home and they're emasculated, or they just feel useless. Their wives are turned off. They are losing hope. And so they're seeking unhealthy, unproductive ways to, quote unquote, get their needs met. And so I created this program to address the underlying issues. Mm-hmm. Also to let guys know, listen, I've been there. I know what it's like. I have, you know, firsthand experience. And I want to support you if you want this. I'm not saying you have to do, everybody has to do this. If you're seeking escorts, you need to stop right now and get coaching. Nope, never said that. But for those who are like, oh God, I really don't want to do this anymore. I feel guilty. I feel shamed. I know it has to end, but I don't know what to do about it. And so I created a program for them and was able to help a handful of men. Here's the thing though. In my experience, these guys, the sort of coming out, if you will, was too difficult for them. In other words, it was not a sustainable business model for me to work with these guys. It was.
So you mean like the coming out, like was part, no, what do you mean no. by the coming out? They had to like confess yes, to their wives yes, what they were yes. doing?
They
themselves or like.
Okay. It was, so here's what I found. Very few men, and maybe it was the realm that maybe it was my, you know, point of attraction and the realm that I was hanging out in and advertising in. And I'm sure it was, Morgan, but the space that I was hanging out in, was still that, you know, shame, disgrace, keep it a secret. And so here I am advertising, something that, you know, we can openly talk about that's going to transform your relationship with yourself and your wife and sex. And I think it was too difficult for enough men to step into that space. But again, I take responsibility because I was still showing up in that, like the back page ads and those shady places where I had advertised my other services, you know, before. But I was going there trying to be that beacon of light. And again, it worked for a few people, but it wasn't a sustainable business for me. And so learning that, and also I had a coach who, you know, was like, yes, that's the low-hanging fruit, Colette. You know how to help these guys. But what about women? What about their wives? And so I started, I created a program for women called the Intimately Awakened Woman. And so addressing the struggles that she might be going through on her end, secretly and silently suffering, that has that dynamic be happening in the relationship. And so then I started getting a lot of women clients.
And yeah, I imagine that fared a little bit better. That worked better.
Yes, it did. And for the longest time, Morgan, I was like, I can't tell them my background because that's going to be too intimidating. They're going to feel like, first of all, they're not going to respect me. It's going to be intimidating. They're going to think I'm trying to fuck their husband or whatever. And it turned out that background was actually this quote unquote selling point that, that the women were so grateful to be able to have someone who had the background that I had, like give it to them real, so to speak.
Wow. Well, what kinds of things? There's a lot of my listeners here are women, and you know that's my specialty is women's sexuality. So I'm wondering what types of things you encountered. Like, what were the problems that these women were facing that you helped them with?
Well, I mean, my head instantly goes to the source of the situation. And the source of the situation, as I understand it, is that we have something called a soul wound. It's the part of us that we think is fundamentally broken. And then we cope in certain ways. We either shut down when we get triggered emotionally, we shut down, we go cold. We get silent, we bite our tongue,
right?
Maybe get passive aggressive, or we strike back, we act out, we explode and erupt like a volcano.
Totally.
neither of which are productive yes. in relationship, and they just destroy intimacy.
Yep.
So that's what I've understood is the source of all our struggles, whether that's intimacy related, business related, health related. The source is this thing called our soul wound. So we can talk mm-hmm. about that later. However, women were coming to me because they weren't satisfied in the relationship, satisfied either in their husband's like communication or participation in, you know, the general duties of a relationship mm-hmm. or sexually. Like our sex is so not satisfying.
Mm-hmm.
And he just does the same things over and over. Right. And I'm like, oh, so he's a fucker. He's not a lovemaker.
Right.
And these are things, this is when I was working with guys. I was like, you can't be a fucker if right. you want long-term, sustainably satisfying, you know, mutually pleasurable sex with someone. You can't yeah. be a fucker. I mean, listen. Right. Like so a quickie on the kitchen countertop, go for it.
Right.
Like fuck your brains out. But that's not going to be nurturing and nourishing and ultimately satisfying for the long term.
Absolutely.
And so even just understanding that distinction between, he's a fucker. His sexual style, if you will, or what he's been taught or like the only thing that he's ever done, the only thing we've ever done is fucking.
Totally, which is sort of the norm. I mean, I talk about that a lot in my work too. Like, just you know what we see in movies and in magazines mm-hmm. and on film. It's just all kind of like the slam bam, thank you, ma'am, mm-hmm. and the guy orgasms and the woman's just kind of like, oh, mm-hmm. okay, mm-hmm. oh, I guess that's all there is. And mm-hmm. so, like, no wonder women feel unsatisfied and rip their husband's balls off.
Yeah, you know,
when they come from work, like right. they're not getting fucked well enough. I mean,
yes.
the answer is obvious.
Yes, 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 yes. And then the other thing too, why I titled that program "The Intimately Awakened Woman" was because the other thing I see a lot, and I certainly have experienced this early on, was that I did not know my body. I did not know my pleasure. I did not know how to ask for what I wanted. I was illiterate sexually and sensually. And I find that that's an epidemic among women.
Absolutely. Oh, so much. I mean, that's so much kind of my background, mm-hmm. my story as well, mm-hmm. is sort of coming to that realization of having to really take responsibility.
Yes.
You know, we have to learn our bodies. We have to learn how our pleasure works, how our sexual energy works before we can ever expect somebody else to come and like rock our mm-hmm. world, right? And there's this really unrealistic expectation, I think, that we tend to have just culturally that, you know, sex is just supposed to work. Mm-hmm. And if it doesn't, like, you know, then there's something wrong with mm-hmm. us as women or wrong with our relationship. But the truth is, like, we don't get that education.
Right.
So you spend a lot of time like helping these women learn about their bodies and connect with their bodies mm-hmm. and ask for what they want, mm-hmm. use their voice.
Yes. And that was always at the end of my program. So
interesting. Mm-hmm.
So I would often say, I don't teach technique. I don't teach yeah. tips. I don't teach how to have sex.
Ditto. Yeah.
I teach you how to awaken what's been dormant or what has been, broken, that's their language, not mine, broken inside of you so that you can feel confident asking and communicating your needs and desires, so that you can be curious in the bedroom instead of just going through a routine, so that you can lead the discussion or even the, you know, the experience of sex with your partner. And right. Yeah. And you get to that and you get confident and you get sort of good in that arena. Then sure, I'll throw in some like shit that I learned as a call girl. You know what I mean? Like we can get a little crazy with it together. Like you want to take it to the next level? I'm happy to give you.
Right. Like here's some tools.
Yes, I totally
agree with you about that. And I mean, it's another, you know, I'm the same way. Like it's not about the techniques and the tools and the tips that you can read on the fucking cover of a magazine.
Yes, because, exactly.
Yeah. Like if you've not done the deeper work of like what you're talking about, the communication and knowing your body, like you can have 50 million orgasms, but that's not going to help your relationship, right. You know? Yes. Yeah. I love it. Well, so now you said something too. So the women's words was like, yeah, what's broken. Mm. You help them to heal what's broken. And let's bring that back around to this soul wound technology. People hear the word wound and we think brokenness. Right. I mean, it's not necessarily what comes to my mind, but I think that's a common association with that word. Yeah. So what is this soul wound technology? Yeah. Why do we need to pay attention to this? How does it show up in your
work? Yes. So I'm sure it existed long before I arrived, but it is something that I have distilled into a very specific format or formula. And so here's what I've come to understand about this thing called the soul wound. It's something that you have, that I have, that all humans have. So in other words, it doesn't matter how great or how traumatic our childhood was, we all have a soul wound. It's that part of us that feels fundamentally not good enough, not so universally, that's the wound. If it had a declaration, it would be, I'm not good enough. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so none of us escape that. And it's actually a good thing. It sounds like it's a bad thing to have and to have to deal with, but it's not, because that wound is the catalyst for our healing. And when I talk about healing, I'm talking about returning to a state of wholeness, getting to know who we truly are. Reconnecting with that source energy that we are a part of, that we are an extension of, that we were gifted these bodies to go explore, you know, with soul, with source energy, sort of as the engine and the experiencer through these bodies. So, yes, we were separated like little droplets cast off, sprayed off out of the ocean, and so we have this not good enough to be a part of that warm womb-like source energy that we came from, but it wasn't a punishment. So it's not wrong, and we're not broken for feeling separate. So if we can start to reframe it first by realizing that that yes, we're separate in as much as we get to live out and experience life in this unique body with this unique personality, but we're still all the same, connected by source energy. So if we can, first of all, reframe it and get that, and then recognize that this wound that we have is actually the catalyst. It's a gift. It's so we can evolve spiritually, so that we can return to that state of wholeness, return home, in a spiritual sense.
Absolutely. Yeah. I love it.
And the way in which we do that, it's a tricky motherfucker. Like, God has a sense of humor. And so the way that we do that is that this soul wound gets provoked. So anytime we get triggered by something that has us want to either shut down or act out, good news, you've been triggered. The soul wound is what there is to give your attention to. In other words, the situation, what he said, or, you know, that job that you lost, or that friend that was talking shit about you, the situation is not the issue. The soul wound is. The situation is simply the circumstance that's alerting you to the thing inside of you that wants your attention, wants your love.
Right. I love the way you describe that. Yeah. And it's so, so true. And yeah, what powerful work. Now, you transitioned out of this intimacy work and this coaching of women, and now you've transitioned into more of like business and marketing coaching. I wonder if you could just say more about that and like why the transition.
Yes. Yes. Okay. So I have to back it up just a click or two to get you there. And what I recognized somewhere between three and five years ago, I'm horrible with time. Like, time is just one big open fucking field of play for me. So somewhere in the near distant past, that's not even a thing. Recently I realized that, the clients that I had the best time working with and were getting the best results and, you know, that I wanted more of, quite frankly, because I was in a marketing and business development program. And so these are the kinds of questions that were being asked of me, so that I could build and scale my business. So who do I love to work with? Who gets the best results from working with me? And the answer to that question is empaths. Mm. those of us that have this, you know, emotional sensitivity, we feel things on a next level.
Right.
And being an empath, I have a, you know, a soft spot in my heart to help those of us who tend to have really, you know, high sensitivity, and energetic permeability, well, be masterful and not see that as a curse, but rather as a gift. Uh-huh. So that was coming through in the coaching, the intimacy work that I was doing was addressing that unique, quote unquote, challenge with my clients. And so here I am in this marketing program, recognizing that I love working with empaths. And so I started marketing more exclusively to empaths. Again, in the field of intimacy, but I had gone from talking to or writing articles and making, you know, ebooks and things of that nature for everyone from CEOs to soccer moms to sex workers. That was my marketing before. I know, right? And I'm like, I can help every single one of them. And I did. But as far as establishing my authority in the industry and really staking my claim as a leader, it was too broad. And so that's what I learned from a marketing program. So I reeled it in, started talking to empaths about intimacy and how our unique challenges, or rather our sensitivity presents unique challenges in relationship and sex. And then I was working with my fellow empaths who are oftentimes in the helping and the healing and the coaching and the holistic service field, therapists, and recognizing the struggle they were having, you know, having sound businesses and making enough money and feeling the freedom. So in other words, the conversation, while intimacy started to improve for them, then it sort of spilled over into, well, now my struggle is in this area being business, and money and focus in career. And so I was able to take what I had learned along with that soul wounds technology and apply that to help them, shore up that arena of their lives as well.
Awesome.
Started making more money, started attracting the right people. Not just like me, all people, that was like just a trickle of clients when I needed there to be a flood of aligned clients, because that's another thing for us empaths is if we're doing this work, we cannot be drained at the end of every damn day. Need to have enough energy to do the work that we were born to do. And it doesn't work if we're attracting people that we're trying to convince and, you know, like convince them and force them to fucking take care of themselves. If we're in the, if we're in the helping fields, our job is not to convince people to take care of themselves. Right.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. That's so not fun. No, absolutely not.
And that's a marketing problem. That's a marketing issue, attracting the wrong people. Mm-hmm. So that was the pivot that started to occur. And then I just really loved the intersection of intimacy, the soul wound technology, and business.
Mm-hmm. And cool.
And a big part of that is because my business literally, 4 times the amount of revenue over the course of 18 months. I went from making like 23 grand in 1 year in my coaching business to, you know, over 100 grand 18 months later.
Wow.
Because I applied what I had learned from other people, but also my own experience, my wisdom. So what I do now is a culmination of things that I've learned from all the spiritual teachers and the business gurus and my own experience. So a combination of knowledge and wisdom is what I bring to this badass empath business and leadership development work that I do.
That's cool. So it's really like you're weaving this intimacy, pleasure, and purpose really into your work. And is that part of what you do with your clients, is help them kind of connect the dots between those things? Or
100%. Yes. Yes. You mentioned the word pleasure, whether it's in business or relationship or anything, that any roles that we play in the world, we are not meant to hustle and grind. It's not meant to be a struggle. We're meant to move through the world in a state of ease and grace and flow. And if we are cut off from our pleasure, that is a that's a good indicator that shit's going to be real hard for us. And so it's not about working harder or, you know, eating right. And yes, all of those, like I eat right. I go to yoga. I meditate. I do all those things. But what has made the absolute difference, well, doing the soul wound work first and foremost for me, but then being committed to pleasure in everything that I do and seeking and framing it. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And how do you do that? How do you incorporate that?
Well, I delegate the stuff I don't want to do. The stuff that feels like work to me. And so I know that sounds a little bit maybe advanced, and it took a while for me to be able to do that, but I realized the impact of being able to delegate and not feel like I needed to be in control of every element of my business. And the same could be said for relationship or, you know, how the household is run. Like if we feel like we need to be in control of every element, because if we're not doing it, it's not getting done right. By the way, that's a coping mechanism from a soul wound. If we're in that state of needing to control and micromanage and do it all ourselves, then we're disconnected from our pleasure. And a good exercise would be, what can I let go of here? And so I've had to ask myself that dozens of times and spend the money for things like a housekeeper and a lawn guy and a, you know, my coordinator who like does all my scheduling and does all of the things and be willing to give the quote unquote power away to other people, trusting that they have what they need. And of course I have to be able to communicate. Hello, intimacy. I have to be able to communicate effectively with them. And then I have to also be willing to part with some of my resources in order to have that happen for me so that I don't have to think about it and I can focus on what does give me pleasure. And I'm speaking right now mostly from a business perspective, but you could apply this to, you know, running a household.
Yeah. So Colette, so people who are listening to this, I know a big part of your work is helping people to find their purpose and live in alignment with it. So if someone's listening right now, could you just give like one little piece of advice on, you know, if someone's kind of confused around what they're supposed to be doing, what could they do to start to get in alignment with their purpose?
Yeah, absolutely. My short answer for that is the wound is the way. The wound is the way. And I know that's not a really popular response because you're like, wait, what? I got to go back and relive some painful shit. Well, you don't have to actually relive the pain. If you can, through a facilitated conversation, go back and mine your experiences, then they will give you clues around why you are the way that you are today. In other words, how you coped, like a lot of what we're great at, that's the coping mechanism from the wounds that we experienced. And also the purpose, I believe there's purpose in our pain. And so if we can tease out the meaning from those wounding experiences, then what we focus on and what we give our hearts to feels like purpose. It feels like it has meaning and it makes an impact oftentimes for other people as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Awesome. Well, what kinds, do you have any like events or workshops coming up and how can people get in touch with you if they want to learn more?
Yeah, you bet. So I have a marketing program for empathic coaches that helps them really unmask their unique magic so that they can market their medicine to the people that are hungry to hire them. So in other words, attracting ideal clients so that work feels like play and so that we can get paid really well to do the work that we were born to do. There's a marketing program coming up. I run it throughout the year. And if anybody wants any information about that, it is absolutely purpose-based, spiritually aligned. And it's not only a professional development program, but those that join me will have a personal transformation as well.
I love it. And how do people find out about that if they want to know more?
You can go to my website. It's ColetteDavenport.com, and you can see the programs that I offer. There are also many free resources, books, articles, videos, all kinds of fun stuff there that people can look at.
Excellent. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show today. It was really nice to have you.
Thank you so much, Morgan. I love it.
Thank you for joining me today for the Sex Talk Cafe. Please be sure to show your support by subscribing to this podcast series and sharing it with your community. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you next time.